This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Man, NFL making moves yesterday. We got reports about Brock Purdy's contract, reports on the Dallas Cowboys. But we're curious about one free agent quarterback and where he'll land. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, it's all about Sam Darnold right now, not franchise tagged by the Minnesota Vikings. And listen, Darnold is a little beauty in the eye of the beholder because I think that the jury is out for a lot of people on whether or not he can be a difference maker on a team that doesn't have the weapons of Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and maybe doesn't have the brain of Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, who's clearly got a knack for offense. So I think this is where Darnold maybe might have a little bit of trouble this offseason. But if you're looking for a young option, yeah, and if you're looking for a guy who did just put up some really nice numbers, well, Sam Darnold is sitting right there now because, again, the Minnesota Vikings did not apply the franchise tag yesterday. That's the news. So he's a free agent.
Yeah, it amazes me, Maggie, to be honest, that the Raiders and Giants are not going to go after Sam Darnold. They're going to go after Aaron Rodgers, for example, who's 41, coming off an Achilles heel, or that the Raiders will, I don't know what the Raiders are going to do. Raiders will go for Kirk Cousins or someone. And then you got the Jets with Tyrod Taylor, possibly. Yeah. Obviously, the Jets can't get Sam Darnold back because he failed there as a draft pick.
Yeah, it didn't go
but
well.
It's just shocking me that the market is so low. It feels like Sam Darnold is going to get a one-year $35 million deal, or 30, because based on yesterday, the Vikings did not tag him, which would have been $40 million a year. Between 40 and 41.
Yeah.
They must have not thought that the market's going to bear $40 million a year. They must have known that the Raiders and the Giants are not interested. What happened? I understand he had two bad games. Are they really judging Sam Darnold on two bad games, just like you did at the end of the season?
I was going to say, I am.
I think the NFL is thinking exactly like you were, because after those games, you said, wow, I wonder if Sam Darnold is a franchise quarterback. And I think the NFL is right with you.
Well, listen, it's not just about those two games, although they were bad. I mean, you lose to the Detroit Lions. The score is 31-9. You went 18 for 41 in that game with no touchdowns, no picks. And then against the Rams, a team, think about the Rams. The Rams were coming into that game where they had to move the game because of the wildfires in Arizona. Can't even imagine, California. They'd move the game to Arizona. All that swirling around, a million distractions, And the Rams blew him out 27-9. Darnold a little better, 25 for 40 for 245 yards, one touchdown, one pick. But he also got sacked 9 times in that game. He was a sitting duck back there.
Well,
and
I
didn't help his team win.
Yeah, that line did fall apart with the injuries, too.
Well, clearly, but everything's not going to be perfect all the time. And, you know, that's the life in the NFL. So can Sam Darnold, when it actually matters, can he elevate your team? And I think we got a resounding answer to that, which was no. And so that's where I feel like Darnold is a little screwed here. Now, the interesting part to me, and you say this a lot, and I want to give you full credit, which is the one thing you really want in the NFL is flexibility.
Yeah.
You know, would I rather pay Sam Darnold a big number for 1 year than sign on for 3 years of Sam Darnold? You know, I'm doing the 1 year thing. Because Darnold, to me, is not new around here. And he may have gotten a bad shake at the New York Jets, but he's been in the league for 7 years, Pearl. Like, he's been around, and we got one great season. Feels like the anomaly. I'm not ready to dive in and say, all right, here's 100, 125 guaranteed, and I have you for 3 years, which kind of hamstrings me if I want to go do something else at QB.
Oh, man, I think you're exactly right. But you say that he doesn't elevate a team. Are we really looking at guys who elevate teams anymore? The Jets are starting Tyrod Taylor at quarterback next season.
Well, they're idiots, though.
The Raiders started Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew last year, and guess what? They don't have a quarterback on the roster now. I don't understand. We're not at the elevate the team level anymore. There are a bunch of teams that need a quarterback, and Sam Darnold can make throws that a lot of these guys cannot. And he is athletic. I know you said he was a sitting duck, but he much more. I remember coming out of college, he ran like crazy at USC. So
the downside
I don't understand. I think people thought Kevin O'Connell was doing the work, as you sort of just alluded to, in Minnesota, and he was thrown to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. I just think he's so much better than these other options. I don't understand what these other teams are going to do. All of a sudden, you look at the draft, there's Cam Ward, and nobody likes Shedeur Sanders anymore. So there's nobody to draft. There are all
that
these teams in quarterback desert with seven or eight teams that are just going to do nothing at quarterback. The Steelers are going to re-sign Justin Fields, who they benched last year. The whole thing is very confusing to me.
Yeah.
I can't understand why the market for Darnold isn't just a little bit more robust.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I said Darnold to the Steelers. I thought, okay, this is something that stabilizes. But new information over the last couple weeks, which is that Shedeur Sanders is dropping in the draft. And Dane Brugler, who does one of the draft nicks for The Athletic, who's really come on the scene because he writes this really, really informative pre-draft piece called The Beast, which you can really learn a lot about all these draft picks. He has Shedeur dropping to the Steelers. So like, well, now I'm a little intrigued by that. Suddenly, Darnold doesn't look so good, because if there is a shot that I could get Shedeur, well, I'd probably rather roll the dice on a younger guy. And if he's got a similar type of skill set and he can complete the passes and he's just a system guy, I'll go with the younger, cheaper version. I'm looking around the league about where Sam Darnold could possibly start, right? Because you're coming off of a season when you win 14 games, even though they crushed him for the last two. He probably is thinking, I'm a starter in the NFL. I don't see a lot of obvious ones, except maybe Minnesota, because you don't know the state of J.J. McCarthy's knee, and neither do I. And I think maybe they do, maybe, but how long is the knee even going to hold up? They obviously need to have a good plan B, or maybe Darnold's the plan A and J.J.'s the plan B. It's actually Minnesota that makes the most sense, but again, I don't want to dive into a three-year deal when I've got this quarterback I spent a top 10 pick on.
Well, why does Minnesota, just to play devil's advocate here, why does it make more sense than Cleveland? I heard the other day that Cleveland might bring Joe Flacco back to start next year. Why does it make more sense?
Carson Wentz, right? Well, that was the other
rumor. There's a, and Kirk Cousins is also strongly linked to them once he clears out. Why do the teams have no quarterback? At least the Vikings have J.J. McCarthy, who they love. These other teams have nobody. It strikes me the league is really down on Sam Darnold. I think he has one more good year. I think most likely scenario, he signs for $35 million for 1 year, has a good year, and then next year someone jumps on him.
But the question is where? Because where's this good team where he can have a good year? He can't have a good
Minnesota,
year on a bad team.
No, I think he signs 1 year with Minnesota, and then he looks at he really puts himself in the next year's free agent class.
See, I worry. I would advise against that if I were his agent, because I think next year's crop of quarterbacks are going to be way better coming out of the draft. So that's always bad for middle of the pack free agents. The funny thing about Cleveland, you mentioned, like, why wouldn't Cleveland go after Darnold? Well, they have the second overall pick. So if they want a quarterback, they could just take whoever Tennessee didn't. They could trade up to one, maybe if Tennessee's really open for business. And they've already invested quite a bit into Deshaun Watson. Are they putting another $100 million into a three-year or two-year Sam Darnold? I don't think so.
That's a good point. Cleveland is at the cap with Deshaun. But you mentioned the draft.
Yeah.
That's the underlying issue. Number two, Cam Moore goes number one to the Titans or somebody trades up.
Sure.
There's no quarter. They're not taking quarterback now. That's the way all the mock drafters have it. So This is a pipe dream. Unless they're getting a second-round quarterback, it feels like teams would rather go in with nobody than Sam Darnold. I really feel that way. Why are the Raiders, unless the Raiders are going to take Shador at number six, and this is all smoke, all this Shador Sanders fault. There was another report that he came off like a jerk in meetings.
Yeah.
They're like coming fast and furious.
Yeah, people are piling on now.
So I just don't understand why you'd rather have nobody than Sam Darnold.
Well, here's, I think what's really telling and what will be ultimately telling about Sam and his real market. We're talking about Sam Darnold did not get franchise tagged by the Vikings yesterday. So he's now a free agent. Where is he going to land? And ultimately, is it going to matter at all? Like, I think what's telling is the New York Giants. Giants. Because if the Giants, they have to be really gauging Tennessee to see if they can move up. Meanwhile, you're going to be moving up and potentially putting a lot of resources to move up from 3-1, the Tennessee Titans, to draft Cam Ward, who we all like. But yesterday, Chris Chaprasso, the draft Nick from CBS Sports, compared him to David Garrard, who was a fine quarterback, but was not a generational talent by any stretch. So it's a risk if you trade up to get Cam Ward, if you can even do that. I think if the Giants don't go after Sam Darnold and decide to go the Aaron Rodgers route, that means that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll don't think Sam Darnold can save their jobs. And that's damning for Darnold because you have Malik Nabers. I think we could probably disagree or agree on, you know, do the Giants actually have any pieces? But if these two guys who are so squarely on the hot seat that they're willing to do anything, to save themselves, if they say no thank you to Darnold, I think that tells you a lot about where Sam Darnold's market is. I don't know if you agree with that.
I kind of do, although I do wonder if management is playing, upper management, ownership is actually playing a role in this Giant strategy. I don't think they're letting Joe Shane and Brian Daboll just do whatever they can to save their job. I don't think it's Mara. I think it's Tish. Is probably the smart one of the two who was not
producer.
On the half owner of the Giants who was not on Hard Knocks. I think somebody there is smart. They're not going to let Brian Daboll and Joe Shane spend $200 million of future cap space on free agents to try and save their job. It's not going to happen.
They will not put it past them.
They are not going to blow up their cap for the next 8 years on this offseason. There's no way.
I don't know if Darnold blows up your cap, but it would be a significant investment. It's an investment, but they'll let him maybe trade up to one.
But according to your theory, they would sign a bunch of deals that they would sign five free agents. There's no way. There's no way they're going all in on Myles Garrett and all these guys. It's just not going to happen.
855-212-4227, the Sam Darnold domino, because I'm wondering if you're a team out there who needs a quarterback, right? EJ, your Jets, Manny, your Giants, and we can say Titans fans out there, Raider fans out there, would love to hear from the Raider fans. You know, you want Darnold? EJ, you can't. You already went down that road. Darnold would be a fool to walk back into the building. They treated him not well. The team was terrible. That whole thing failed. But is Darnold a... is that an appealing option?
That's the thing I get. But to be fair, though, I feel like Jets fans are a little in a weird spot because they saw him arguably at his worst.
Yeah, he had terrible coaching staff around him, no offensive line, no weapons. I mean, it was a disaster.
And I think most Jets fans understand that. I don't think that they sit there and say, oh, like it was all his fault. I think they think he is what he is, but I also think that he was screwed. So it's tough. Now, I do feel like given the options that are out there, and given the season he just put on, it's hard. You're hard pressed to find a lot of better options. Like Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles and now an elbow shoulder injury. Russell Wilson
that he lied about, so he could keep playing.
I know Russell Wilson losing five games in a row with one of the best defenses in the NFL. Like these are not good options. And Sam is at least young and agile, and as Pearl said, he can make throws. It's like you know again, you get the point where beggars can't be choosers. Yeah.
I get it. Manny, you want Sam Darnold for your New York Giants, or we rather just get, you know, mortgage the farm to trade up?
Can I take option C, neither, and just wait till Arch Manning comes out? Because, yeah. I mean, Cam Ward isn't going to be generational. Shedeur Sanders isn't going to be generational. We'll get an old guy for 2-3 years. It all stinks. None of this is sexy to me.
No, it's all right. You got Steve Tisch making decisions.
No, this is, yeah, no, this is.
I think he produced Forrest Gump.
Oh, wonderful. That was a hit.
Yeah.
Trust me. Banger.
Are you making fun of my Steve Tisch life?
I just think it's funny because no one ever attributes him to making decisions.
Everyone knows Tisch is
the real man behind the man.
I'll be honest, I forgot Steve Tisch was a part of it.
Yeah, everyone knows Tisch is the reasonable one and Mara is the emotional one. That's what they. But it's going to be what? Russ or Stidham for the Giants? Like, what are we doing here?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if it's a big master plan to tank for Arch Manning. The thing is, though, I've always said this about Arch, just like it was with Eli once upon a time, Eli Manning. You don't have to have the number one overall pick to get Arch if history is going to repeat itself. The Giants didn't that year. They traded up with San Diego Chargers.
I really feel like all these teams should just forget about these older veteran guys. They should all be going for rookies. Like do what happened last year. I know maybe in theory it looks like these guys don't seem as good, but a lot of people didn't think Bo Nix was any good, and he ended up being okay, like more than okay.
Yeah, he
was really solid, right? He made the playoffs.
Like, it's Sean Payton as a coach, though. That's got to help.
But I just feel like you walk down the path of Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, all these teams know what they're getting into. Jared Stidham, like, you know what you're getting into. I'd rather take a shot on one of these young guys. Ewers,
Jackson Dart.
So wait, would you take Dart at 3? There's a lot of rumors that might happen.
No, I think all these teams are trying to trade down. I think if you can't get the guy you want, trade down and then get your quarterback. And then say, this guy's a starter, we're just going to see what happens. And it maybe he turned out to be good. Right. I mean, like, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick, and he was awesome. I'm not saying that you're going to repeat history, but these veteran guys are not
it. Stop talking about.
So wait, because there are a lot of rumors, the Ole Miss connection with Eli. Somebody in the Giants building loves Jackson Dart. Yep. What if you take him at 3, EJ? See, I disagree with you. I think that's a little rich. Like, you get Jackson Dart at 3, and you have 1 year to win. I'm not sure that's all going to work out.
That's why I wouldn't take him at 3. I would trade down. I'm sure there are teams that are going to want some of these other young studs that play other positions and say, maybe you can get him at 10, maybe you can get him at 12, something like that.
Oh, okay.
I would trade down.
Yeah, we had a good O-line draft this year.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't take him at 3, I'm saying. But these teams that are really staring down a barrel of like a veteran bridge guy in hopes that Arch Manning is going to be there, only one team gets Arch Manning. And you also got to hope Arch Manning is good, by the way.
Decides to leave college.
Right, I mean, and that too, right.
How much money could he be making at Texas if he feels like he wants to stay? Peyton Manning went back for a senior year and, in theory, wasn't getting paid anything.
Exactly, and I think we know the Manning's value, the number of starts you have in college. Like, I think we've heard them both talk about that, Eli and Peyton, how important that was to their development. Arch is only going to have one full season as a starter. So, again, there's only one of them. So, I mean, are we talking about Avery Johnson? We're talking about these other guys that, like,
Garrett Nussmeier
or whatever.
Who's
the quarterbacks that are going to save you next year if you can't get Arch Manning?
I feel like next year's class is going to be way better because this is a very down class.
Yeah, no one's high on this class. 855-212-4227. Darnold or an unproven rookie? If you're a team that needs a quarterback, and there's a lot of them out there, we're looking at the Raiders. This is fascinating what Brady decides to do. I just can't imagine him spending money on Sam Darnold. I can't, but that's me. 855-212-4227. Let us know. Again, we talked about some news breaking late last night, at least on our coast, about some contract negotiations with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, but that's another Darnold spot for sure next year for Darnold in San Francisco. Pencil that in.
If they can't get something done with Purdy?
Yes.
I got an amazing Photoshop I can show you. I can make real quick that I got to show you.
Of Darnold and the Niners?
Yeah,
because we know that Kyle Shanahan loves Sam Darnold.
Yeah, thank you, Manny. That's a real stretch. Keep working hard.
I got you.
Brock Purdy and the 49ers entering negotiations, but what else did they have to say about the state of the roster? Because as we know with Purdy, it's not just about Purdy. So there's more to the story than just what the number may be on Brock. But let us know what you think, Sam Darnold. You want him, Raider fans? Cleveland Browns? Jets, no. Giants? Tennessee Titans? I don't know. 855-212-4227. Steelers? Does that interest you at all?
Woof, woof.
855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. You know who's having a bad offseason? I'll just say it right now. I think the Niners the expectations of the Niners have to be falling.
Really?
Because I heard Steve Young talking about the team yesterday on the Rich Eisen show. He said the O-line is a mess. They don't think that Ayuk's going to be there by the beginning of the season.
Because of the ACL.
ACL, MCL, turns out PCL and cartilage. Whoa. So he's got a major, major injury. They have not done anything specifically to address their major flaw, which is special teams. So I don't think that realistically they should be in the top five in odds for a Super Bowl like they are. But they obviously have some big work to do. And everyone's talking about signing Brock Purdy. That's just part of the issue here. So if they want to play low ball with Brock Purdy, I get it, because they got a lot of problems other than quarterback. I don't know how they are going to run this team back. They better just hope that Christian McCaffrey finds the right blood-spinning treatment in Europe and is ready to go for 18 games. That seems to me like their best chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think, are we past the blood-spinning phase? What's next? You spin something else? I've no idea. And add on top of that, the report yesterday that the Niners are, quote, open to trading just about anyone.
Yeah, you know, right, exactly.
It feels like a pipe dream to be able to trade Ayuk because he's hurt and he's owed a lot of money. However, if a team does look at this as a bigger picture and say, all right, we don't think that Ayuk is going to have like a devastating, this is not a career ending or altering knee injury. It's just something he's got to overcome.
Right.
He has $50 million guaranteed over the next 2 years.
Right.
$25 million bucks a year is actually not the top of the market for a wide receiver. Watch what Ja'Marr Chase is about to get paid. You know, watch what CeeDee Lamb got paid. We see these guys who are making 30 plus, and Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to dip into the $40 million a year. So if you believe, if you're a different team and you think Ayuk is, you know, could help you maybe for a playoff run this year, and then you'll have him the next year, you might say, all right, $50 million. I'm not saying it's a bargain, but it's closer to bargain than it is not.
He's not in the same conversation with those players, though. There's nothing in common with Brandon Ayuk and Ja'Marr Chase to
me.
Well,
that's the thing. I don't understand why he's on the trade block, because I think that he's more important to Brock Purdy maybe than any other team. You know, Brock looks to Ayuk first. It's clear they have a connection. And now we're hearing from Jason LaCanfora, who's an insider who works out of D.C., that the 49ers, this is how he worded the tweet, 49ers playing hardball with Purdy is very on brand. Starting your offers at $45 million a year is something. I didn't take this as such a huge insult to Purdy. To me, getting from $45 million a year to $50 million is like not a huge leap as far as negotiations at this level are concerned. And I think if Brock gets to the $50 million threshold, I think he's probably taking that deal. Is he like thrilled about it? Like, yeah, probably on balance, you're going to be super rich. But I don't think Brock is going to necessarily play hardball to get to $55 million or what have you. I think he would take $50
million. So that puts him, what, ninth or 10th among quarterbacks?
Like,
and probably by the end of the whole thing, 20th or something. Yeah, I mean, the Niners, I think that's exactly what the Niners want, a very reasonable contract. So they're not killing themselves with the Brock Purdy contract, and they can keep some of these older guys. They keep putting out these public messages, we're up against it cap-wise.
Yeah.
That's why they said
their own fault.
And they also said they're up against it cash-wise, which I don't totally understand. I mean, we could bore the audience to death the difference between cap and cash. I don't know. It feels like the Eagles always have room to sign these guys. I just don't think they're that high on the player. I think Kyle Shanahan's a little fickle when it comes to quarterback. I think they think Purdy's good, not great.
Well, and you start taking weapons away from him, he's going to be even worse, you know, because he's the type of guy who needs all those weapons, and every quarterback would love those kind of weapons. So, you know, you already traded away Deebo Samuel, and that's fine. I don't think the fan base was too broken up about that. But, you know, you're thinking about Ayuk, now you get this report, anyone's on the table?
Yeah,
I mean, how many people are you willing to part ways with here?
Yeah, they need their number one priority is offensive line. Number two is special teams. They got to get those things fixed. Otherwise, they have none of it matters if you don't have an O-line. We saw that last year. Purdy was running around, and when he can't do the short passing game because he can't see anything in front of him because everyone's getting beat on their blocks. It's a disaster. So they have a lot of work. I don't know how you fixing your offensive line. Like, every team wants to do that. Does it ever happen? It's very hard to do.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. We had put out a poll question, EJ. What was this, a couple days ago, about Brock Purdy? Are the Niners signing him begrudgingly or excitedly? And begrudgingly won.
Yeah. Are you surprised?
You know, kind of, because I'm a little surprised that the fan base, at least from our seat, feels like they've really cooled on Purdy. You know, it was a down year, and there was a million different reasons why San Francisco, you know, faltered last year. It was injuries. It was devastating things that happened off the field that killed the vibe. It was special teams, as you said. It was
special
coaching
teams,
staff shakeup.
Special defense, too.
And injuries and everything, right? So I'm a little surprised that, it appears from our vantage point that the fan base has cooled on Purdy when this sort of feels like, you know, just sort of a bad year all around.
Well, he had 20 touchdowns and 12 picks last year. That is not the kind of numbers you want to throw $50 million at.
But he had no McCaffrey and he had no Ayuk.
Right. But regardless, definitely, you look at that body of work, you definitely, with Kyle Shanahan, that's not a good sign. If he was coming off the year before, you'd feel okay about it. You wouldn't be begrudging. But I totally understand the begrudging. By the way, he had some big games toward the end of the year. He kind of got hot. But partly because the defense was so bad that teams were running up the score on them. So there's a lot going on in San Francisco. I think they have a ton of work. I think they're even thinking we have to reshape this team on the fly. I wouldn't use the rebuild word, but when you say we're going to trade everybody, that kind of sounds like a rebuilding term.
Well, it's funny because, EJ, I think that you may have had a thought that building around Brock Purdy is actually a smart thing for them to do, right? If you're going to let other pieces go but make Brock the focal point of the team, that's smart. I think that scares the fan base. Because I think they know his limitations.
But to me, that's silly because what we saw was a team built around Brock Purdy go to the Super Bowl. Like, at the end of the day, when you think about the weapons they had, the offensive line they had, the defense they had, that was a team that was built around Brock Purdy to his advantages. They just didn't know that their quarterback they found was in the last round of the NFL draft. So to me, those pieces no longer work. They're older. They're getting hurt. There's things that's been happening with the team. They're just not all together. So you need to start throwing these guys away and start bringing some young guys, guys that would fit for the next era of the Brock Purdy leading you. To go say we have a decent quarterback who we know would get us to a certain level and we're going to not take care of him but take care of these older guys doesn't make sense to me. To me, it's like, no, you pay the younger guy and then find out what is the next 2.0 of the Niners. I think that they have a pretty bright future with Brock, but they do have to start offloading some of these guys.
Yeah, I think they were more built around McCaffrey the Super Bowl year. I feel like he was the centerpiece of everything.
Purdy was
definitely the secondary. I mean, we saw the MVP vote. McCaffrey was third and Purdy was sixth or something. Like, McCaffrey was everything to that team.
McCaffrey was awesome, but I think at the end of the day, you're not going to have McCaffrey playing at that level for
more years.
It's time to find a new McCaffrey,
but that's
not that easy.
Yeah.
And they invested a lot, not just to trade for him and get him from Carolina. They've paid him again. I mean, a slight raise, but like they've invested a lot in Christian McCaffrey. Perloff said he's got to go back to Germany and, you know, spend some blood.
They need
I
him.
I think we're past that point.
Yeah, they need him to come back. He's 28. They could use one more McCaffrey year.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Jay's in Nashville. Jay, give us the fan perspective for the team picking number one in the draft.
Okay. I hear you guys talking about Darnold, and thinking about it, it's just ironic because I was thinking about it yesterday. If I was the Titans, I would take Darnold, and I'd take my number one pick and try to – it's like trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. I'd take that number one pick and get more picks out of it. That way I can build my offensive line and defensive line. Mm-hmm. And who I would shop that number one pick to is a team who just got rid of both of their cornerbacks, which is the Eagles, who is so stacked, they can give away draft picks. I'd try to get either two number ones or get a number one for next year or get a bunch of second round picks. But the Eagles would love to have somebody like Travis Hunter. And the thing about the Eagles is so stacked for the next 3 to 4 years, they can give away picks. So it's almost like the same scenario when Dallas traded Herschel Walker for all them damn picks. And look what turned out.
Yeah.
They had a dynasty out of that. So it's like, why not? It's almost like flipping houses or flipping cars. Why not flip that number one pick? And Darnold will hold you over until, like you said, they got good quarterbacks coming out next year. Why not?
Right. Jay, you really think that the Philadelphia Eagles coming off of the Super Bowl would then trade up for the number one overall pick? That's crazy, even for Howie Roseman.
They don't have any cornerbacks, and they got picks to give away. They're stacked for the next 3 to 4 years.
Those picks are too high, though, Jay. The Titans don't want the 25th to 32nd pick.
I know, but I'm saying you can give them at least multiple number ones and number twos. Who else are they going to get? And like you said, the quarterbacks are really – they're good quarterbacks, but it's not They're not game changers like you would think. I think a couple of them could turn out to be that, but why not follow the Eagles format of building your O-line and your D-line? That's what you need right now. I'm here watching this stuff, and it's O-line and D-line is their problem. They already got Big Jeff on the D-line. Why not add somebody else with Big Jeff on that D-line and build your offensive line to where your grandma can sit back there and throw
Love it.
Jay, thank you for the phone call. Inspired. Pearl, your Philadelphia Eagles making a big move?
Well, first of all, if they went up there, I think it'd be for Abdul Carter. They are drooling over that guy. That you know, he's an Eagles fan. He's from Penn State. They love Micah Parsons. He's Micah Parsons 2.0. They have Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell.
I was going to say, they've got corners.
But they let the old guys go. They let Slay, who might come back.
Yeah, and James Bradbury. I didn't even know was on the team anymore.
Yeah, Bradbury got hurt before the season last year. So I think Jay is inspired. I do think a team like the Eagles would love to get up there to get Abdul Carter, but I don't think that's going to happen. It's way too far. But we were talking yesterday, what if the Cowboys wanted to get up there to get Travis Hunter or something? Maybe that's a thing. Maybe there is. I like his thinking that we have so many holes. Why go quarterback here? What he's saying makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but see, I trade with the Giants. If all things were equal, yeah. I trade with the Giants because even if I don't get as much of a haul because they're only going from 3-1, I might bet against the Giants. Like, they might still have a bad year.
Or the Raiders. It's the same Raiders logic. Raiders 6, thing. Jets at 7. Jets reportedly really want to get up to 1 for Cam Ward. That's not a bad spot at all. They, you know, the Jets, all those teams.
I would fade the Jets 100 times out of 100.
Right. So I like where you're. Or the Saints at number 9, because the Saints have all these salary cap problems. All these teams in the top 10 are flawed. I think the Titans are thinking like Jay. I don't think it's an outrageous thought at all. Hey, let's go all the way down to 32. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think so. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us on a very busy Wednesday.
Guys, good morning. Those headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Adult toy shaped feet. As I look to my left, no Knicks gear can be seen on the human scoreboard, so I'm assuming things didn't go well at MSG last night.
Butler working on Brunson. Jab step, driving baseline underneath the hoop to Moody. Extra pass, Curry, catch it, shoot, right wing, three. Rain dance! Warriors by 2. Timeout! Knicks.
That's not Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Steph Curry, 28 points, 9 assists, improving to 12-1 at the Garden after this 114-102 final. His Dubs have now won 7 of 8 overall. Tom Thibodeau, the latest coach, without an answer for Curry.
He never stops, so you can handle the first part, then there's going to be a second and third one. And so a couple of them were, you know, guarded extremely well, and he made, and he has that ability. But, you know, we got to find a way to win that game.
His Knicks outscored by 20 in the second half last night.
I mean, okay, Golden State now up to 6th in the Western Conference standings.
Out of the play-in, the Lakers are up to 2. Yep.
These trades were amazing.
They have both played somewhat easy schedules. I mean, the Lakers are beating a lot of Hornets and Jazz and Pelicans.
But they got the Celtics coming up and a couple other
we'll
fun
see.
Ones.
And by the way, the Knicks can't beat a good team, so does this prove anything?
Well, the Knicks beat good teams, just not the top 3 teams.
Steph Curry does own that building. I mean, it's small sample size because only 13 games going back to when he was at Davidson playing the NCAA tournament. But good.
Yeah, he barely loses. The only game he lost, he scored 54 points. It's really weird.
Yeah, Trae Young wants to be the king of New York. What a dunce.
At least you have that going for you, man.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, no, he's an idiot.
Don't hurt your back there stretching for the Trae Young thing.
Those Lakers beat the Pelicans last night, 136-115. They have their first 7-game win streak in 4 years. LeBron had 34, Luka 30, and 15 assists. Kevin Durant scored 34 as the Suns rallied for a 119-117 win over the Clippers. And the T-Wolves ran away from the Sixers 126-112. Only 2 players got the franchise tag before yesterday afternoon's deadline, the fewest since 2006, when only 1 player got tagged. Anybody got a guess?
I read this. Okay. I read it already, but I immediately thought of our girl here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is, say it again, I was in the chat with someone saying that Eagles are going to be a dynasty. Sorry, go ahead.
The fewest franchise tags.
Get out of the chat.
There's 2 yesterday. The fewest since 2006, when there was only 1.
Oh, and that was my Bills?
It was your Bills.
The 2006, yeah. Who did they franchise tag?
Now, if you could guess, I don't think you're going to be able to pull this.
Was it offense or defense? I don't remember.
I think defense.
Oh. Yeah, he's a corner.
Yeah,
right?
He's a corner. Yeah.
God, the corners were not good back then.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was just setting records left and right. I don't know.
That's how they had that 20-year playoff drought.
Exactly.
Nate Clemens was tagged 19 years ago.
Wow.
I read the
and
same
that regime story. Got yeah. blown out of the building, I'm sure, right away.
Yeah, not a lot of franchise tag. That no. like came and went.
And there was a time where Nate Clemens deserved one.
Yeah. Oh, sure. We'll go with that.
The two this year, T. Higgins, we know that, and Chiefs Pro Bowl guard Trey Smith. The Cowboys signed D-tackle Osa Adigizua long-term instead, 4 years, $58 million guaranteed. The ACC, Florida State, and Clemson reached a settlement yesterday in their legal fight over revenue sharing and exit fees. Schools who get more attention will get more money from the league moving forward, and the financial penalty for leaving the league drops significantly by 2031. Men's top 25 action last night. We should have a new number one come Monday.
The inbound to Pettiford. Texas A&M, the first time history is made. Aggies defeats a number one team. Tigers tamed 83-72. Texas A&M beats number one Auburn.
The 22nd-ranked Aggies ending a four-game skid with their first ever win over number one. They led Auburn wire to wire in this one. And some good teams still struggling on ice. The league-leading Jets dropped their third in a row, 3-2 at the Islanders. The Oilers took a 6-2 home beating from the Ducks. Edmonton's dropped 6 of 7. They remain 4 points behind Vegas for first in the Pacific Division. Guys, back to you.
Can I say one thing about that ACC story?
Sure.
Florida State and Clemson, peace for now. I read the deal they set up means that there's going to be nuclear war in 2030. And
yes.
The entire conferences that we know them will be completely different after the setup in 2030 because they're going to want out and everything is going to be up for grabs. And it's going to be a totally new system coming after
okay,
that.
We need a conference realignment. It's been a while since we've had
it. I know, we're missing right. it. It's been a while since Stanford went to the ACC.
Yeah.
So because the ACC is going to break apart in
2030? Well, these good teams are going to leave the ACC and presumably go to the SEC, I guess. Or are they just going to be free agents? Or is the SEC and the Big Ten and the ACC going to reach an agreement where there's some sort of new league?
Yeah, let's just do that, right? I mean, that's where we're going, like to some 64 mega team group. Let's just get there and be done
like
with
this. Like the NFL.
Yeah.
And this seems to help it because it finally lets Florida State and Clemson out of the ACC.
Right, and they can pay it, and they take all of their media rights with. I mean, they won this. Like they're getting more money now, and now they have their path out of this league. Like the ACC gave up yesterday.
And in this theory, or in this new reality where it's more like the NFL, it'd be double the size, but more like the NFL where you just have like divisions or something.
Yeah, 4, 16 team groups, whatever it is.
But for basketball.
And
basketball doesn't get touched, or what do we do here?
I don't know. All these things are interconnected. Like all these TV contracts are intertwined with the Olympic sports. I mean, I would love it if just football and basketball did this power thing,
yeah,
and everyone else could go back to the way it was.
More regional. That'd be great.
Right. We don't need Stanford and Wake Forest playing league soccer matches.
Yeah,
we
volleyball
don't need that.
Matches like on a Wednesday
right.
in the middle of, you know, when you should just be playing more regionally. So you think the basketball would also go to this 64 team thing?
Well, I mean, the thing with basketball is there's so many more competitive teams. Yeah. So I don't know what theirs would look like, but I don't know that they would separate those two. Yeah. They might.
Honestly, who cares? Basketball, so I mean,
I care about basketball.
All the money comes in through the tournament for basketball, so I think it's a much less priority. That basketball isn't as contingent on this conference line,
right?
And also now that the SEC dominates the sport, I think it's really about football. And this will fix the balanced schedule problem. That's a huge issue, I think, because everyone's upset that they can't get the right playoff teams because everyone has different schedules.
Well, we'll
I think it's
going to
be great.
It will change it. I mean, you still have this happen in the NFL where teams get, like, air quotes, easy schedules and make the playoffs and they're, you know, get blown out in the first round.
But it's radically worse in college football. Look at Indiana's schedule.
Yeah. No, I get you.
So
I do wonder if your schedule will be easier based on just, like, where you're regionally located. Like, if you're Texas, for example, like, you know, they got to skate some matchups because they left the Big 12. Like, are they just... No, I think I have to play. You know, I know Nebraska's not good now, but they have to play some of these teams. Like, if you're Florida, like, are you obligated to play Miami every year? Like, how's that going to work?
I think you'd want that, right?
Well, you do, and I think that's what's actually going to be the one of the great things about this is I think this is how you get back to having your rivalries matter again. But I do wonder if you're like Indiana, for example, like who in your region, like, oh, you play Purdue and Northwestern, like that. I feel like we might still run into some of those issues.
I think it's unavoidable. I mean, Indiana's right, I schedule in the Big Ten was unbalanced before we compared it to other league teams, other leagues. Like, their Big Ten record was not the same as other Big Ten records by who you play. So there's always going to be like weak spots, soft spots. You can't have perfect balance. You just can't.
Don't worry, we have another 5 years to talk about this. 855-212-4227. They should start now because it's going to take them forever to decide on a system.
Kennesaw State against Grand Canyon next on the ACC Network.
855-212-4227. Lots more to do, including we're surprised that this potential...
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Player is on the trade block. We'll get to that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, M&P on the Infinity Sports Network. So if you were listening last segment, our friend Jay in Nashville calls in this show, had a radical idea for his Titans, which would be to trade with the Philadelphia Eagles, of all people.
Yes.
Because the Eagles, well, they've drafted so well mm-hmm. over the last couple of years was the thought that they can afford to give away future draft picks because they're kind of set. So they would make this big swing to maybe get up and get a Travis Hunter or something like that.
It's a Luka Doncic-like trade for my Eagles.
Give us Travis Hunter. Shot.
Yeah.
Woo, bank that in. Anyway, but so that was kind of radical, gave us something to think about. But meanwhile, there could be some major changes coming to the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's our friend Tom Curran, does a fantastic job reporting on the New England Patriots. He was on the Jones and Keefe show on WEEI and talked about one target that the Patriots could be looking at.
I love the fact that you actually are sensible enough to go back to A.J. Brown instead of barking up the T. Higgins, D.K. Metcalf, both at NIU, who are just not going to happen. A.J. Brown is a much more reasonable get.
Okay, more from Curran. The Patriots have to make a call on Brown if they can't get like a Chris Godwin or Devontae Adams, and they should be targeting Brown.
And if not, meanwhile, you're also making calls to Howie Roseman about what can we get, what can we send you for A.J. Brown?
Okay, so this would kind of close a loop, if you will, Pearl, because A.J. Brown obviously played for Mike Vrabel when they were both at Tennessee, and the reports were that Mike Vrabel was really blindsided by that draft day trade that sent A.J. Brown out of town. Now, we're always wondering, like, is that true, or is that just a coach kind of sticking up for his players? Him wanting to reunite with A.J. Brown makes sense, and A.J. Brown was not exactly like Mr. Happy Camper, despite the fact that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Definitely complained about the passing game, definitely was, you know, doesn't love sharing the targets with, Devontae Smith.
I'm going to go we here. What do we get for A.J. Brown?
Probably a draft pick.
Yeah, which one? We're obviously not getting the number four pick. Do we get the 38th pick? I'm looking at the order. That's their pick in the second round. Would you do it for the Eagles? Because Howie is a tough bargainer. He's going to want something good to give up A.J. Brown, who's 27. He's not 32 like Devontae Adams. I think you're going to get a good pick, and that's really interesting. Would you take the 38th pick if you're the Eagles for A.J. Brown? I think that's a very interesting trade for both teams. That seems to work to me.
Okay, but see, this is why I don't know if I would do this if I'm the Pats. I know they've got all the money in the world, but they also have some time here, don't they? I mean, Drake May looks like he's the guy. Why don't you just take your draft picks and draft wide receivers? Like, I know that they've, you know, Bill was not great at that. Belichick, for all of his great qualities, flaws, N'Keal Harry and these guys he totally whiffed on. But I would say, I don't know, younger guys who can kind of grow with Drake May as opposed to taking on a big salary guy and someone who's going to demand the ball. Like, I know all wide receivers want the ball, Pearl, but he's going to be in the huddle with Drake May. Like, I want you throwing me the ball on every single down. I mean, he's going to be that guy.
Oh, yeah, but you should, of all people, you should get this because Josh Allen was transformed by getting Stephon Diggs to Buffalo. There's so many. Jalen Hurts, by the way, was transformed when A.J. Brown came to town. He made Jalen Hurts a much more effective passer.
Right, right. But that's kind of like a zero-sum game. Do we know if Josh Allen would have developed if Stephon Diggs had not gotten there? Because Diggs also put up his best numbers with Josh Allen. You know, it was there. It's almost like there's no alternate path. It was if they didn't get Diggs, then Josh Allen still would have been throwing the ball into the first row. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Wow.
Could Drake May still develop even if it's without A.J. Brown?
Yes, he could, but this would sure accelerate the process, and I get that. I mean, A.J. Brown is great. He's unstoppable on those deep routes. He can, if you get him one-on-one, it's done. Look at the top quarterbacks in the league. They all have these kind of security blanket receivers. Joe Burrow's got Jamar Chase. Jared Goff's got Amon Ross St. Brown. Baker Mayfield's got Mike Evans. I'm going down the list of top passers. You look at Sam Darnold with these great receivers. I understand what you're saying. You can get better value in the draft. But you do know there's huge value to a quarterback to have a number 1A receiver.
No.
So A.J. Brown, and do you agree that A.J. Brown is a 1A, top 10 receiver, top 5 maybe?
Yeah, I think he is. But I guess I just am questioning, does it have to be right now, you know? That would just be, and by the way, if you want to go for a Devontae Adams, who did, I know is 32, but got released yesterday by the Jets, you don't got to trade anything. You don't have to give up anything, and it'll be cheaper.
But that's like the Titans getting DeAndre Hopkins. That's not going to do anything. That ship is sailed.
I think he's better than DeAndre Hopkins.
Older. I mean, I've shown you numbers before. Post-30 receivers generally don't do very well, and post-32 receivers are even worse.
Yeah, I know he can play in the cold, though. And again, I don't have to like give up anything. Anyway, 855-212-4227. Well, A.J. Brown to the Patriots talk. Patriots are going to be a major factor in this offseason. That's something that we know. Coming up, looky here. Who was making smart financial moves yesterday? Oh, we were shocked.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.